May 14, 2015, at Palm.
So, we have a card here that usually we've been sending a card from FPOM when people have had things, but since folks were here, we have a card. Carl Duggar's retiring at the end of the month. You know, he's been out on a medical, so if anybody wants to sign it, please take a moment and sign your name or whatever. And it looks like Tammy brought brownies. There's these. I don't know if there's a better place, but please feel free to eat up whatever's here for snacks.
There's also banana muffins.
Oh, banana. Oh, you have and tons of stuff, yeah. Tammy. Okay, the usual. I didn't think you had time to cook anymore.
I squeezed it in.
So, yep, nope, have a seat. And Bobby, you're here. We're not. Do we need to quiz Tom, or are we just going to go ahead and start?
There's 11 people, so.
Oh, okay.
The restrooms
we're ready
are on the
ninth floor.
You got to have a card key to get in
get
and out.
Back. Elevator.
You go. Well, you can go up the stairs, but even that
even
door.
There, you have to have a card on the door.
Yeah, you have to. Have
okay,
a card.
So don't just leave and think you can come back.
Exactly.
Take Bobby or want somebody with you.
Somebody got a temporary card.
Or somebody that's got a temporary. Okay.
Or we could just put a bottle outside the door.
You can tell they don't deal with it very much.
No, I would say
we need a tub.
All right, let's all think about starting the meeting, and why don't we go around outside and hear who's on the phone?
I do not.
So, good morning to those of you that are out there. Why don't we go around and hear who is participating via telephone?
Ben Hausman from Bonneville.
Hi, Ben.
Morning.
Eric Van Dyke, Oregon.
Good morning, Eric.
Hi.
Towns Burgess from Little Goose.
Good morning, Towns. That was Eric Hocker Smith. We didn't hear the
Christine Peterson.
Christine Peterson. Okay.
Christine.
Yep. Who else do we have?
Scott Fielding, Walla Walla.
Go ahead, Patty. Somebody.
No, Scott Fielding.
Scott, we heard you. Whoever Patty is, could you speak up?
Patty Clinton, Portland.
Okay, thank you, Patty.
Lisa Wright?
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Shane.
Good morning.
Who else do we have?
Gary Frederick.
Good morning, Gary.
Morning.
It's afternoon for you.
A little bit, yes it is.
Okay, anybody else on the phone? I think that's it, isn't it?
Trevor,
are you on?
Trevor's calling in right now.
Okay, thanks.
Doug Mouse Corps.
Hi, Doug.
Good morning. Chris Panicor.
Good morning, Chris. Okay, while we're waiting for Trevor, then why don't we go around the room and let them know who is here. I'm Ann Setter, Cora Walla Walla.
Tammy Mackey, Cora Portland District.
Charles Moru, Washington.
Bill Heflin, NOAA.
Greg Moody, Corps of Engineers.
Scott Dunn, BPA.
John Bailey, Corps, Walla Walla.
Dave Trachtenberg, Corps, Walla Walla.
Bob Wertheimer, Corps.
Rosanna Mensick, Blue Leaf.
Bobby Johnson, McNary.
Thomas Van Nuys, Pacific States.
Miro Zendel, John Day.
Bob Cordy, Vidalis.
Lieutenant Jacobs, Walla Walla.
So, just to follow up, Lieutenant Jacobs is doing, with our group in FISH, he is a lieutenant working, getting a little bit of experience, trying to understand some of the fisheries issues. So he's with us through August.
Cool. Welcome, outstanding.
He hasn't decided yet that it's outstanding.
We will convince him.
So with that, I think the first thing on the agenda is, does anybody have any comments, or are we ready to approve the April meeting minutes? Okay, I'd say we have approval. Next thing is, does anybody have anything to add to the agenda that we didn't add? I know we put in a couple late ads that may not have been on the agenda sent out, but...
Right, but we sent out the documents, so you can just add it.
So does anybody have anything else that they want to bring up? I know for Walla Walla, I had a slightly informal discussion here, so we wanted to talk a little bit of... we have Towns on the phone, and John and I were out there yesterday, just a brief... update on Little Goose Barge dock and some changes that we're thinking perhaps a week from now in terms of operations. As well, yeah, Bill's walking around. Let me remind everybody, we have a card for Carl here that we're passing around too, so please sign it. Gary, you're on the phone. You got anything, or are you just here for general comment?
Yeah, I'm good for now.
Good.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Bill, Scott, you guys good in terms of the agenda? Tammy?
I'm excellent.
Charles is good. Okay, action items. The first one is Winter Steelhead Surface Passage.
But it was Derek Fryer and Wertheimer were supposed to work together.
Oh, it was Derek Fryer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like nothing happened. Is that what we're thinking?
Well, no, hold on. There was a meeting we went to, SRWG met, right? We discussed objectives for 16. I didn't recognize that I had an action item for this, sorry. But there was work that was done to the SRWG for setting up objectives for 16.
Okay. So does that satisfy whatever we had it on the FPOM agenda for? I'm not exactly sure. So when we saw Fryer, I was thinking it was the Crit Frick Fryer.
No.
And this I noticed was, that it was said at SCT meeting last month, it's been 3 weeks, that the Corps is going to use FY15 funding for this to get this study started.
Oh, uh-huh.
So that it was said that this needs to move quickly.
Okay.
Right, Bob? It does need to move quickly, and that's why at the SRWG, we talked about different issues and stuff, and we also mentioned that these are FY15 dollars that they got to get up by the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. This is something that can come off of the FPOM agenda.
Okay. So we're done with it here. That was
for now.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it belongs in SRWG for review of their scope and their study plan, and then depending on if they needed some operational adjustments, it would be back in here to talk about what they might need.
Right.
Bob, if I can, just did you get a good positive response on the updated study plan that you sent out, the one pager?
Actually, Derek, I believe Derek's the one that sent that out. And there was good feedback, and I thought there was a good discussion at SRWG.
Okay, thank you.
This is Eric on the phone.
Okay.
I know I sent in quite a few comments. I haven't really heard anything back yet, so...
comments?
I'm expecting to hear about that now, because clearly it's gone to SRWG instead of FPOM, but...
Okay, so...
Charlie's question.
I will...
So, Eric, I think Bob will... follow up for you? Is that?
I will follow up with Derek and make sure that we circle the wagons back on this in SRWG forum.
Okay.
Right. Thanks.
Okay, so the next action item is NWP, Bonneville Split Flows.
This is Ben from Bonneville. I haven't worked with Gary on this yet. I've been looking at the stuff. I'm sure Gary has as well, but I just kind of wanted folks to know what the driver was, but we have a really hard time moving fish when we go to split flow operation with the way the FPP language is currently worded to try to balance flows. It's especially hard with spill, it looks like. When we have spill, it's almost seemingly irrelevant what you do. They go where they go, and post-spill, it looks like we're going to have to move a lot more than potentially 2 units if we truly want to move substantial fish from Washington to Bradford, and that's kind of our issue, I guess. And I don't know where it stands right now, but I guess we'll just draft something and submit it for approval or debate.
Yeah, Ben. I think what I was most concerned about was that we get a higher, as we get numbers of fish above the trigger that we have already, that we start adding more units to Powerhouse 1.
Yeah.
But if you think that it's not working even with what's in the plan, then we may have to revise that as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, with that, the stuff I looked at, Gary, we had it weighted just by chance last year because of having a transformer outage. We were running 5 units at Powerhouse 1 and only 3 at Powerhouse 2 and still pulling the vast majority of the fish to Washington side.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the FPP reads now, we're moving only 2 units. So I don't think it's anywhere near enough.
Yeah, we may just go to a... They go to an even split or something like that and let fish go where they want to go. I mean, I don't want to force them anywhere, but you know, the whole idea is to take some of the pressure off of the Washington Shore ladder. So if we can,
sure.
It may be that we just go to 50-50 right off the bat in September. I'm not talking about when we have spill. That's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, with spill, the stuff I've looked at, it literally looks like you can't really move them.
Yeah,
this year we've had nothing but Powerhouse 2, and it's pretty much a 50-50 split, and it goes back and forth day to day, you know?
Yeah, I don't see this as an issue when we have spill, and I'd be concerned about splitting flows if we had a lot of juveniles in the river, so.
Sure.
Okay. It's only once we get into that September time frame when we shut off spill that I think, and we have these high numbers of fish, that I think this really matters.
Do you want me to just draft something and send it to you before?
Yeah, if you don't mind, that'd be great. I mean, when I get back in the Northwest, we can sit down and talk about it.
Okay. That's all I had on that topic.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
Yeah, and we have, you know, as we said here, this is a September issue, so we got plenty of time.
Okay.
Next is AFF Mods. And actually, Gary, you look to be the only team member.
Yeah, the AFF mods, I mean, I think that's other folks working on the closeout report for that after action. I think that's once that's done, this one's pretty much closed out. Unless we see something new.
We haven't seen anything new as of yet, and I think it's pretty close to being done. We've submitted our stuff, and I don't know if John has more to add, but it might be finished at this point. We can definitely have it for next FPOM.
Yeah, we just need something to kind of sum up what we did and what the effect was to the extent that we can describe it, and then call it good. So
okay.
We have to dredge it back up again, which I hope is never.
Me too.
Okay, sounds like we're done. We'll keep moving. Next thing is completed action items. Jump across them. Okay. NWW updates. Upcoming maintenance construction activities. One of the things that we attached in the handouts, and I brought a few copies, was the color-coded outages updates. Bill Heblin had asked that we update this each month just for people's awareness. So, and then I was going to talk a little bit just from that on both LOMO and Lower Granite Unit 1. So I don't know if we want to pass those around, but basically... Bridge crane work at Lower Granite expected to be done hopefully in September. They have not yet started yet, and as you're aware, we need the bridge crane work completed before we can start any work on the linkage repair for Unit 1 at Lower Granite.
So the crane work, say that over so I can write it on this.
So we right now, and what you'll see on here is we have Unit 1 return to Kaplan as a blue line starting somewhere in late September or October going on through 16 out into about May, June. Right now, that's the current proposed schedule. However, the bridge crane work that has to be completed, they are starting to get some people going over during the month of May, And once they start at Lower Granite, they'll be working two shifts to try to get done by September. However, they haven't yet started yet, so they haven't finished Little Goose yet. And so until, we're very close though. However, this is the schedule that's been slipping now for several months, and so we don't want to get too overly optimistic yet.
Bridge crane possibly starting?
Sometime in May.
And then fix the bridge crane starting in May, and then it'll be ready to go by September?
End of September. So at the beginning of October, then hopefully start the Unit 1 linkage repair.
And I notice it's really only 9 months, right? About
for Unit 1?
For Unit 1. One, two, three, four, five, six.
They're trying to get that one at this point in time, yeah. And then but the one at Lomo is actually 12 months due to other work that's being done while that's torn apart. And I think I have that one on in the wrong year, so that's the purple. And actually, that should be starting in, they're hoping to start that sometime this fall, but the purple line looks to me like it needs to be updated. So I think it's actually January of 2016 that we currently expect the linkage repair at Lomo to start.
Oh, so you've got it starting in like April of 2015 on here.
Yep, and that's wrong.
I was wondering why it needed to be like 2 years.
Yeah. So no, but it will go. It's scheduled to go January through December.
January of 2016
through September through
so
December.
We get rid of these first.
So
the first year of that purple line.
Something happened with this that's incorrect, but so much for diagrams that make it easier, huh?
Operator. Right. So basically, they get the crane done. At Lomo, and then they start.
Actually, it's at Lower Granite that we have the bridge crane work. At Lomo, they will start as soon as they get the parts on site. And so there is at least one long lead part, and so that's why they won't be starting Lomo till at least January.
January 2016.
Yep. And then once they finish with Unit 1 at Lomo, they're going to take Unit 2 out for cavitation repair, but that should be less of an issue because we'll have the unit right next to the ladder entrance then available. So we had talked in previous meetings about a potential for some preventative maintenance on Unit 2. At this point, we've been able to push that out. We're not aware of anything where we would need to have both of those units out until Unit 1 is completely fixed. So I think that's it for those two updates for me. The next one is the McNary debris plan revised draft. I did get comments from Tom and Joe. I think I mentioned that at the last meeting, and I haven't recirculated that. I was waiting on the status of the log bronc. Appreciated everybody's efforts to try to push that in the SET forum for a lot of support for the need. As it turns out, McNary got very fortunate. One of their staff was able to find on surplus a Navy boat. And the delivery date may be as soon as before the end of this month. So that's great news. That's much quicker than we could have ever gone through our acquisition process and gotten something on site, as well as the cost was nil. So it's going to be gray, and it has kind of these large supports over the top too. It's kind of a different looking boat than the Granite boat. So yeah, I'm sure next time we have one out here, we'll have to take a look at it. But
probably used to crane it on top of another boat. That's maybe
probably.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway,
what part of the country is it coming from?
I think it's coming Puget Sound.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it should be here shortly. That's what we have the person who's doing our business line there inquired last week, and they said all the paperwork's being processed, and so we're cautiously optimistic that it may be delivered in a couple weeks.
Nice.
Now they'll probably have to do a little maintenance, take a look at it, get it, make sure it's getting running, but they're the project. Their chief of maintenance here, Tim Roberts, making an effort to make sure he has adequate staff trained to operate the boat so that he doesn't get caught shorthanded and not have people as well. So I think the project's making the proactive approach with this that we had promised in the debris plan. So I think we're probably ready that I will redistribute that probably following the meeting again, and then if anybody, it'll still just be kind of a final draft. If anybody has any further comments, it'll be our working document. Yes, sir.
What I missed what you found, or what you found. What did you find? Is it a log block or something else?
Yeah, it's a little boat, just like what they were trying to acquire. The Navy was surplusing it over in Puget Sound, and we got very fortunate. Turns out that McNary had a guy that has been looking for one in surplus for over a year, and as we were getting turned down on our original acquisition that I thought we were going to be able to buy it on by our folks at NWD in the budget realm, and then you guys were trying to tee it up at SCT, and you know we were trying to get some traction there, right in the middle there. Brandon Frazier, one of the NRM Rangers here at McNary, found it out on surplus. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So it'll be at McNary by the end of the month.
That's what I'm hoping. We haven't had an official date, but it basically, the paperwork says, you know, the paperwork was being processed a week ago. It kind of had an in transit behind it, so we're hoping that it'll be showing up here very shortly.
Okay, and what's, you know, a little slow, I understand, but have you seen any debris issues since we did that debris spill?
No, they did a really good job of clearing. You know, they borrowed the lower granite log bronc and really cleared it up. And I don't, Bobby's here. Do you want to comment, Bobby?
No new incoming debris so far. We cleaned trash racks Monday and Tuesday. So we're good. Nice and clean.
Okay, so he cleaned Monday and Tuesday. So, yeah. So
getting the boat in you guys probably won't be ready to actually run the thing until June sometime, so, but that won't really matter, it sounds like.
Hopefully not, because recall, you know, part of our proactive approach was that they were going to do the checks and they had the outages, so if they needed to rake trash, and it sounds like they used that this week.
Yeah.
So I.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Good news.
It is good news, actually, every once in a while, huh?
Yeah.
Next thing is lower granite rental pump update.
And before you go into that, I want to go back to the Gantt chart. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was looking. It looks like there's a change for Unit 3 overhaul of Dvorak.
I didn't adjust that this month.
You didn't, but, well, it looks like it's coming. It's starting between July and August.
That was what was requested. That was preferential.
Yeah, that was preferential. Okay.
So we just.
It doesn't mean
it's all draft right now.
Okay, that should. Okay.
So it's what you guys asked for.
That's what we were thinking would be.
You're asking for that. Would be better not they.
Because we're gonna have a little. Our cool water from Dvorak is going to be cut back in about half, right? That we have available this year.
What it affects the following year, so it's actually the spring of 2017.
Yes. You can still spill it up and get cold water.
But no, well, yeah, you got the dissolved gas.
Sure.
But okay, yeah. So this is what we were first wanting.
Yeah, and it's no, there isn't.
Okay.
We're going to have to get closer. You know, she really coordinated that a long ways in advance. Remember, that was Kathy Spillane that was the PM. You know, what they said is depending on when the parts got there, they could work with the contractor to try to address this, but it's still too early.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
They've got a meeting with the contractor. 2 weeks, they're going to open up the unit and let people come in and look at it. So they'll know more after the folks show and tell.
Okay.
Good update.
Sorry that
not a problem.
Rental pumps becomes really important.
So rental pumps.
And then they'll transition into the permanent.
Yeah, we're still on the same schedule that I mentioned last month. The rental pumps are to be on site and functional 1st of July. Had an update from Lower Granite Project that we are progressing well with putting the power, running the wires, the conduit, and plugs, etc. That is scheduled to be completed early in June, early to mid-June, but it may be completed early. As it turns out, if they're able to get that completed early, they may also add a switch that facilitates the use of those existing pumps as well, so you don't have to crawl down. So that's just an add-on. But we're on track. They had their on-site meeting, I believe, on Tuesday this week. They had two vendors show up. One of them was the vendor that supplied the pumps last year. So I think things at this point look like we're tracking very well, so it's likely that we may need those earlier than last year, depending on if the warm temperatures return, which they likely will, and with these low flows.
Right. Probably will be. Yeah.
So we'll be prepared well in advance of the sockeye run.
Good.
So, you know, it's usually somewhere in that mid-July, sometimes as early as the second week of July, that you start seeing some sockeye that far up the system.
That's for sure.
Anybody else have any comments on that?
Only that I hope we have a lot of cool water in Dvorak.
We have a few managers on the phone.
Yeah.
We've got Eric.
it's been an ongoing discussion.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenging decision there. The next one.
It won't help us very much if there isn't any cool water down there 60 feet.
That's very true. Although, of course, the deeper water doesn't have the sunlight penetration, so we might have a few degrees difference. But you're right. If there was no Dvorak augmentation ongoing, the ability for those pumps to allow the trap to operate is probably very minimal. It's not going to make that much difference. But I would expect that in July we'll still have water irregardless. The time frame that'll be critical will be September, whether or not you have anything left, depending on the other operations that people choose to undertake.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I guess, and FYI, I was talking with Ken at Granite yesterday, and his outlook right now is kind of pessimistic, but there's this hope that we don't have extremely warm water temperatures and that we can operate the trap sooner this year. But we'll see. We will have some water from Dvorak, whether we have enough to benefit us. Yeah. By the time we get to August, middle of August, we may be seeing.
And, you know, that'll be another decision point probably, because I don't need to get into that. I was going to talk about that, but we have that break between sockeye and fall Chinook. Generally, it's the first week of September when we really start seeing fall Chinook up there. So you could trade off a little bit maybe that mid-August and make a decision of whether that really is a time frame to be utilizing what you have left.
Something
to think about.
Hold on to some of the water for those two.
Back months. Off in there.
Well, you have two volumes of water. You have the early part of it and you have the late part.
Yeah.
Somebody else just join? Okay. John, you want to just give a brief on the transport initiation?
Okay, well, collection for transport started on May 1st at all this Lomo, Little Goose, and Lower Granite. It was pretty routine. They all started at 7, like the BOP says. And the first barge went out the next day, and we've been in daily barging ever since. We've been able to do that day in, day out so far. We have some staff shortages, some facilities, but we're filling in.
So our main issue is at Little Goose this year, and this is something new. They're thinking that it's associated with the low flows, that we do have a lot of banging. John's schedule has been putting the 4,000 series barges at Little Goose for direct loading. We are thinking as soon as we are certain that the run is passed, that we will go to utilizing 8,000 series barges and potentially move to the every other day and top load the Lower Granite barge so that we don't break up the barge loading dock any further. quite a bit of damage. We're hoping that they'll be able to kind of routinely fix that up. They want to redesign to vertical bumpers, which they don't have. There just isn't adequate bumpers at this point in time, and the lip of the barge is the 4000s is catching underneath the barge dock, so just tearing it up a little bit. So we will be doing that adjustment. That's really, it'll be a lot, it'll be invisible to you. We're just making you aware that we have that issue, that we intend to likely do less direct loading at Little Goose as a result.
Yeah. So there are several options that could be done, and one would be simply take the 4,000 barges out of service, and then we would simply load everything in the 8,000 barge and hold for the next day any fish that are left over when you have a barge for direct loading in the 2,000 series. It's only with the 4,000, the middle-sized barge, that we're having an issue. The other option that could be to go to every other day, and then there would be two towboats in service, then two 8,000 barges become available for direct loading at Little Goose. And then as the numbers drop, we would just simply run the boats alone with the two 8,000 and return the direct loading barges just like we do every year.
Yeah, so we're it really is just an awareness that we may move away from the direct loading.
Fish numbers have been way down from what previous years. I did a totals for every year for Little Goose, Lower Granite, and Lomo. And this year, as of May 12th, our total collection was 3.5 million. Last year it was 7.3 million. Our low year was 2.5 million in 2010. So it's in terms of numbers, we're not way below what we are historically, but we're about 500,000 fish below what we typically have by this time on average. So
did you look at 2007, John?
No, I don't. I didn't.
Okay.
You can have this if you want.
Yeah. Do you have any updates from McNary in terms of your collection, where you're at?
We're probably a little bit lower, I think, than average. But not a ton, I don't think. I haven't looked at it.
So at this point, your fish are still looking good.
Yeah, for sure.
Fish look fine.
Yeah, but fish look really good this year. Really.
So we had an update. I was trying to, because of this barge dock issue and trying to decide what we might want to talk with Towns, our biologist, about yesterday, looked out at some of the previous weekly reports out on the web of the Fish Passage Center, of the Blue Leaf Group, and also talked with Ken Fone at Ice Harbor. Ken Fone at Ice Harbor had a lot of fish passing on Tuesday. He was able to get his 100 fish in 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Suggestive that there's a lot of fish at that point in the river. That, along with looking at the weekly reports that were out, and also looking at when the hatchery releases were made, we don't have any evidence that we have a lot of holding going on in Lower Granite Reservoir. We're actually thinking that spill is extremely effective in this low flow year, that fish, while they're moving perhaps at a travel time slower than they would be in a high flow year, they're still moving very well through the system. And we don't have any evidence to the contrary.
So it's like 2010, if your numbers tracking similar, similar type of water year up till now that it rained on the creek.
Yeah. So we'll see. We obviously had a good rain yesterday here.
It was an inch of rain, so you may make up your 500,000 fish in a heartbeat here in the next 2 days.
Well,
fish out.
That'll be what'll be interesting. I mean, that's what we're waiting to see. Does the rain push stuff? Because that would suggest that, yes, there is a lot of holding. But if the rain doesn't push anything, I think it doesn't support that theory.
Well, the rain was pretty spotty. The upper salmon Clearwater did not get it heavy. The next rain system coming through should, and that's the forecast, so we'll see.
And that's this weekend.
A reference point on McNary, we're 95% average confidence intervals last 10 years, we're tracking right on average, and Steelhead, we're beginning to approach average. So.
Yeah. Moscow and Pullman got an inch and a half yesterday.
What?
Moscow and Pullman area got an inch and a half.
In previous times when we'd see fish stall, you could see it in Steelhead in the forebay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lower Granite,
Yep.
Just be awesome. I mean, see, you look out there, and they're just roaming.
We didn't see that at Goose yesterday, I can tell you that.
You saw it?
No.
We were at Goose yesterday and looked in the Fort Bay. I didn't see
it.
You know, we don't have any reports of that going on at anywhere either, and I think Elizabeth will be here a little bit later today. So I think that's the difference between what you're recalling is what...
Where can they be stalled? Where are they stalled at? Above ground and up in the...
I don't know. I mean, unless they're in the confluence area, but that doesn't make sense either, because where those two come together, I mean, the water is obviously flowing towards Lower Granite and moving on downstream.
And this is Doug. I was wondering if some salmon manager might be able to comment on that. That's not the story we were hearing at all at recent TMT meetings. The information we were provided was that the trap upstream at the head of the reservoir, I believe near Lewiston, was getting significant collections of juveniles, and subsequently those were not passing the project. Hence, we've been coordinating the door check operation. So what I'm hearing is inconsistent with that message. So can salmon manager comment on the disconnect between catching at the head of the reservoir in the trap, which I thought I heard for the last 3 weeks has been disproportionately high, but subsequently fish not passing the project?
Interesting. Well, see, you don't really know that fish aren't passing the project.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
That's the unknown.
It is. Yeah.
Because spill efficiency can be quite high at Lower Granite when you got low flows. You're still spilling 20 KCFS. And river is, what, 50 or 55?
Yep.
So that's almost 50% spill with the surface route.
Yep.
So you're not going to see many fish.
Understood, Bill, though. What I'm not understanding, though, is that if we're hearing that there are significant numbers being collected in the trap, I believe near Lewiston, or excuse me, at the head of the reservoir, that's what I heard over and over again. So is that not...
So it's a different message that you're hearing, Doug, here. Obviously, different parties, and you're asking if any of the... So we have Eric on the phone. We have Charlie here. We have Bill for NIMS. Bill's giving you some comments. And, you know, that's just the way things are, Doug. Everybody has different opinions of the data.
Well, I think you have to be cautious. Doug, I think we have to be cautious in interpreting that trap data, too, because conditions and the way the trap fishes and so forth make a difference. So,
Charles, I don't think we were that cautious in our meetings over the last several weeks regarding door check operations. I thought what I heard was the fact that the trap was a good tool in assessing the index, and that the index wasn't showing passage, and therefore we had a problem. Is that not the case?
Well, we're just... Doug, I think what you're hearing here is some discussion that has a different look through the glass at this point in time. I don't think there's anybody that's going to be able to definitively tell you one way or the other. What we're suggesting here is that spill is being more efficient than maybe people are thinking. On the other hand, if we're not correct, we're also making the assumption that as we're having some rain downpour here, that we should have seen some collection pickup, because we generally do, and we haven't seen today's numbers, although we had very high amounts of rain, as you heard a few people talking about here yesterday. The reason that we brought this discussion to FFOM was largely specific to our barge dock at Little Goose, wanting to make sure, get a feel for whether people felt that the run was passed. We had an informal discussion here as the meeting was getting started with both Bill Hevlin and Charles Morrell. Charles and Bill both informed me a little bit of the FPAC consensus. I talked to them a little bit about what data I had reviewed and just circumstances out at the project, and you know, looked back historically as well. And I guess we rely heavily on a lot of the indexing in the pit tags, and if fish are not passing through our collection system, none of that is a valid estimate.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, I think we probably better let you punt this back to your other forum, but that's kind of where we're at, is that right now, based on our discussions with, or my discussion with both Bill and Charlie, next Wednesday we plan to start having other barges than the 4000 series visit Little Goose, We likely will stop our direct loading so that we stop damaging our barge dock.
So we're not, Doug, we're not asking for anything different than what TMT has already decided upon about this, kind of adding to this mini freshet this weekend with some water from Dvorak. We're not asking for that to be changed, because I see that as just kind of hedging our bets. Hedging our bets and helping out possibly where we can. But there's a lot of uncertainty about that. But that's going to happen, Doug. Right?
Yes, sir, that's correct. I just think the message I heard didn't acknowledge any of the discussion that we're having today regarding superb fish condition. Not necessarily, there was just more concern specifically regarding index being low at Granite and fish basically holding in the forebay. And I'm not hearing that level of concern in today's meeting. And to me, that's what I'm highlighting.
That's the good thing, right, Doug?
That is a good thing. That is correct. I'm just seeking some clarification on what we say in different regional forums.
I hear you.
Well, we have the real fishery biologist here today.
Yeah, we do. That's true. Sounds like this is getting muddled quite a bit, and Doug's asking for clarification. I guess in this forum we get it, and some others we don't. So there's evidence of the index that's on the Fish Passage site that helps describe what's been discussed at the other forum. So if you want to get that for me, Doug, later, I can show you the website. And sounds to me like this conversation really is talking about two different ways to observe what's going on and could be in different locations. So,
good. Thanks, Eric.
Nobody has, in any of the forums, had said that there was a level of certainty that was great. It felt like they were put in a bad spot, period, and had to make a decision. So that's kind of the format of the whole thing. From my perspective.
Good, thank you. Any other salmon managers have any comments? Okay, so I think we're probably ready to move to the NWP updates. The first one is Bonneville 2, T11 and T12 outages.
Right, so as far as I know, there's been no updates to that MOC. The fish viewing building, unless Hausman has other information, is still on track. And then that brings us to the ice and trash end gate and Weir Gate 1, which we do need to provide an update on. So go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, so that one, which we're scheduled for the first, well, not the very first, about 12 days in the first 2 weeks of August the 3rd through the, 14th, I believe, is what we were coordinated before. The one thing that we did not bring up out of just an error on our part was we will have to have the south entrance closed because we'll have divers in the south entrance. So I just wanted folks to be aware that the dive itself will only be a day of that 12-day period, but I wanted people to be aware that we'll have to have a transverse bulkhead put in the collection channel, so we will not have the south entrance bring that dive.
So we'll have the north open.
Yes.
And that's it, really, for the firehouse.
Yes.
The 64, 65, that's it.
Yes.
And so we'll just have to look at, and okay, and the sluiceway will be down during that period?
Yes.
So and we have no outfall anymore, so we can run the units on the north end if we're going into a split. Actually, that's August, so we wouldn't have a split flow anyway.
Right.
I don't think that was a problem.
I didn't think it probably would be, but I just wanted to clarify. So
yeah, at that time of the year, it should be okay, Ben. I haven't seen an updated MOC on that.
We can, I can update it and get it to Tammy. It's really...
Yeah, why don't you do that, send it out, and we can check off on it.
Okay. Will do. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, there's no update on that right now. It's fine.
Okay, and so it sounds like the next one we have an update on is Ice Trash Sluiceway, End Gate, and...
That's what we just did.
Okay, so we're done with Bonneville.
Done.
Trunnion Pin.
Trunnion Pin.
Sorry, you guys. Bob's All here. Right. He was looking quiet.
So we had a meeting, was it last week, Tammy, or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was last week.
Small projects team, our district is looking into this right now. It's been handed to them. And we met out at the project, and the project is advocating, looking at other spill gates prior to Spillgate 9. Reason being, there's a lot of problems with the spillway. Spillway 1 through 8 are not, they're not 100%. There's issues with those too, and if we lose one of those, we have some major problems with the pattern. So we're still pushing for actually doing a comprehensive assessment on the entire spillway and looking at those before we seriously look at Spillgate 9. One of the things with the Trunnion Pin is we don't know exactly why it froze up or why it failed. And this exact thing could be happening to the other gates as well. So until we have an understanding of why that thing is froze up, I think we should be looking at the other gates. So the small projects team is going to evaluate that and then determine what direction we're going.
So, Bay 9 isn't getting ignored, though. It's just that we are going to include Bays, gates 1 through 8 in that assessment.
Yes.
And so that's
still on the list.
It's still on the list. It's still a priority. It's just at the same time, we want to make sure that our gates that we use on a daily basis during spill season are still in the best condition they can be. So, this year.
Yeah, I heard two different things there. One was 1 through 8, and the other was Bays. Down from 9, the other direction.
No. So basically, gates 1 through 9 are what
we'll
be looking
at. That's all you're looking at?
That's going to be our priority to look at those. First, to make sure that gates 1 through 8 are still in top condition, and then figure out what is wrong with Bay 9. So we have money to start that. Small projects figured it was too big for them, so...
Right.
They can do a small assessment, but we're going to have to send it out to contracting, and you know how great that is going to be.
So this is getting interesting. So we were assuming that 1 through 8 were fine, 9 was the issue, and then we had some problems with other gates down the line. Now we're concerned about 1 through 8 as well as every other bay in the project.
Correct.
So I think this needs to have... I can see some additional discussion is necessary on this one. So we can.
Yeah, another thing was brought up too, just about the 1 through 9. They were upgraded here 10 years ago or so with the new drums and the wire rope and everything. But there's drum issues with those. So apparently, there's under design or design flaw in those as well. So these are all things that we need to get ironed out. But since we're spilling through out of bays 1 through 8, 99% of the time, and they're extremely critical to the pattern, we need to get those 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob, on that. Okay. I thought you guys were going the other direction and more concerned for the pattern down.
Oh, yeah.
Going non-south of there. Yeah, no, I agree with you on the 1 through 8, absolutely.
So
let's have some more discussion, or just keep us updated on what you find, I guess.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. So, it's just a matter of what you guys find in your assessment. My only other thought is that if we get a good high water flow, we may have saliva falls back.
All right. Chance of that issue.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, it's lower than your lower than the sill of your spillway. So.
I know, God.
I thought we hadn't learned that again lately.
We won't ask what you've been smoking back in Iowa.
Gary and Bob, what was the original thing that indicated the trunnion pin of 9 has a problem? What gave you that hint?
It froze up and as the gate opened, the whole pin rotated, and there's a keeper plate on that, and it went right through the keeper plate.
Okay.
As soon as they saw that,
you're not using that at all.
We're not using it. And that's on the other trees that are on surface. That is the worst one.
Yeah, I just wonder how you're going to tell if 1 and 8 or that's ready to happen to. That's what I'm.
Yeah, we need to know that.
How are you going to tell?
Well, if we can find out exactly why if it's a sign flaw, or if it's just that it wasn't maintained well enough, those are things that need to be worked on.
At other projects, trunnion pins have been going haywire.
This is the same type of design, so that's why they're concerned about it.
Yeah.
So part of what we can get done this fiscal year, plans and specs for bulkheads for the spillway, because the project needs more bulkheads.
One thing that comes to mind on this is that if we don't know what it is, and if you need to go in there and tear something apart, I'd rather tear 9 apart than 1 through 8.
No. Yeah, you mean tear it apart as far as part of the
If you don't know what's wrong with it, you need to get in there and start looking at things. You don't want to do that with a critical bay. You want to do that with a bay that's less critical. So. Yeah. Now that may send you towards 9 anyway. I don't know. It's just, we don't want to lose 1 through 8, whatever the cost.
Right. Yeah, and we don't know the investigation on the pin and why it failed. We don't know exactly what that will entail. It may not require tearing it apart or anything.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't know how you do that without getting into it and actually looking at what's going on.
Yeah.
I guess they just have a long stethoscope and they put it out there on the trunnion pin and then rotate it, right?
I would imagine there's plenty of.
Just kidding. Okay.
Maybe something that simple. But
probably be magic, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, any other comments on that? Next is research Fitterwig updates.
So for Portland District Fitterwig, they met on the 23rd. We don't have any planning bios in the room. Are there any on the phone? I don't think John was going to call in. So the next meeting will be the 18th of June. And that's it for that update.
Right, and I think the Walla Walla has one the end of May, something like May 28th maybe?
Walla Walla Fitterwig's the 28th.
Okay.
I think there's something like June 4th or something for SRW to get.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all the 28th.
RCC update.
Yes, thank you. Hold on 1 second, let me pull it up. So as far as previous day average, Lower Granite, 51 KCFS, 5-day forecast, 80 KCFS, 10-day forecast, 63 KCFS, and the project peak would be 81 KCFS on day 4, which would be May 17th. Moving down to McNary, previous day average, 188 KCFS, 5-day forecast average, 192 KCFS, 10-day forecast, 177, with the project peak at 192 on day 5, which would be May 18th. And Bonneville, previous day average 184, 5-day forecast 201, 10-day 188, and the peak of 201 on day 5, which was the 18th, which will be the 18th. Are there any questions?
What was the 5-day forecast for Lower Granite again?
80.
With the peak on May 17th.
Correct, of 81 KCFS.
81. Okay, so that's next Sunday?
Yeah, I believe that's at 0700 hours too, Bill.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Checking the RFCA forecast, that's at 05.
500 hours.
I didn't know you could get so exact on that.
Yeah, they have it broken down.
That's the time we raft in the water.
So we want to be ready then for a big slug of fish at the powerhouse of granite and goose with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, do those numbers include the Dorshak pickup on Sunday?
Why did you have to ask me that? I knew you were going to say that. I doubt it would, because if we made that change in the meeting on Wednesday, I don't think they would have got a revised STP with those values to reflect that. I don't think RFC knows that. So as far as process goes, is that how you would envision the process? That operation change would not have been integrated in the RFC forecast.
Possibly.
Until next week.
The number sounds high from what I was hearing from our guys. So it'll be somewhere there. The snake is really hard to predict when you get bumps like this. So, yeah.
But the shape, but kind of back to where Bill was going, the shape is what the intended operation was intended to do, is complement the shape. And so, relatively speaking, Bill, I think the shape will still transpire, but as far as level of minutia, how many KCFS Dorshak contributes to that, it might be peanut buttered out and not observable.
Okay.
I think
higher low crest.
Still in the high crest.
We got
the 3 day, and then we got to have the work days of between Monday and Thursday.
Right, so this peak will go through the criteria and go back down. Yep. 35K.
Yeah, I don't see us moving.
Actually, I have to ask Tammy, please omit my comment regarding peanut butter from the notes. It will be real and it will materialize at granite. I should not. Don't put it peanut butter in there. The Dorshak will materialize at granite.
Now you know I'm going to put it in there just
because. Does anybody have any lamprey updates?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Doug.
I just wanted to let you know that looking at the RFC discharge forecast for Dorshak, it looks like they still have Dorshak at minimum through 15th, so they haven't included the...
I was paying attention. That's fine. All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, you guys done?
Yeah, for now.
Okay. So, does anybody have a lamprey?
We can give a brief update on lamprey. This is Bob Wertheimer. So the FFU is operating lamprey passage proof systems this year at Bonneville and John Day North. So we passed our first lamprey at each structure from Bonneville as well as John Day North. So the run's just initiated. If you look at the lamprey numbers on the web, some of the other systems are passing a few more fish, but really the run's just initiated. We've worked it out so that we'll be operating these systems 7 days a week during the peak this year, and that's something I really want to appreciate, you know, thank Tammy for and others in Operations Division of Portland to give support to maintain 7 day a week operations, because we think that's really critical. That's a commitment we've made and we're going to follow through on.
Okay, good.
And there's some of them are going to be transported, Bob?
Well, from John Day North and Bonneville, Washington Shore, the traps that are the systems that dead end. To resting boxes, yeah, you've got to move the fish up above. So from Bonneville, Washington Shore, we take them to the Stevenson boat ramp and release them. From John Day, in the past, they were releasing from the wing wall. There was a high incidence of fallback from those fish. Those fish have worked so hard to get that far. So from John Day, we're taking them off the project, up the Washington shoreline, and release them at a location where there's much less of a probability of fallback.
That's good to know. Any other comments on lamprey?
We'll be counting the lamprey for the first time at night here in May on Saturday. And then continue on at Bonneville only this year. So that's a new update to the fish passage plan.
And that's a really good point, Greg. I think that's really important, because if you look at the timing of when we initiated counting in the past, we were missing the front end of the run. And we wanted to make sure we did a better job of capturing a larger proportion of the run.
Yeah, there's some arbitrary dates up until then, up to the 15th of June. That's when John Day and the Dallas are going to start counting the land, right? For a nighttime count.
Yeah. So did everybody catch that? Excellent.
pinnipeds?
Yeah, I'll give a quick update on pinnipeds. Numbers have been decreasing. Species composition is changing. The stellars, we had the highest incidence of stellars this year that we've ever seen. The stellar numbers have radically decreased. We've just got a couple stellars left. I think we're down to about 40 California sea lions. As the number is, you watch the fish numbers tapering off, you can see that the males are starting to run back downriver. So we expect it to be pretty much wrapping up here as is typical by the end of May.
How many did we euthanize this year?
Up to date? So what's been reported is 14 have been euthanized. This week they've done additional numbers, but I'd prefer to let them report and to putting it up.
They are able to do it again, the trap?
They are actively, yesterday and today, they're actively working the trap, and they've captured a number of animals.
Okay, because they installed for a while after the incidents with the Stellar and the... California.
Yeah, the stellar that committed Darwinian suicide kind of shut down the operation there for. It got caught in between us. The reason I say Darwinian suicide is it got caught in ropes between the traps. It flipped upside down and ended up drowning. So just because the stellar numbers are fighting so hard to get on these traps, even the space between traps, so we put up exclusion devices between the traps so the animals can't get up there and harm themselves before we take them out and remove, you know, the animals that are on the list of criteria.
But not stellars.
But not stellars. Yeah, never not stellars yet.
Right.
And that's outside. This is Corgos.
The stellars just fight to get in the traps.
Exactly. And those traps, right, there's a limited area. Yeah. And so then the smaller animals that are on the trap, that's what happened the one time. Is it looked like, you know, from the autopsy results and stuff like that, it looked like the animals themselves caused the injuries to the other animals.
Yeah.
Crushed them. Of course, we're just, my group is just collecting data and reporting that data, moving that data on.
Nice. Thank you. Avian? I think that what we have on the agenda is just that everybody's undertaking it. We did get our first report. At this point in time, there hasn't been any lethal take utilized as part of our hazing efforts in Walla Walla, although they're prepared to undertake that as need be.
So, and there's no change in the policy on that?
No. We are still, we have a green light to use it as we have in the past. APHIS, just as of the report date that Greg got the other day, which was through April, had not yet utilized it at any sites.
Okay.
When did you use it, just by numbers?
When?
When do you use it?
Well,
there's a couple of steps that they have to go through before they go through April. But, you know, when they finally do get down to that point, they have the numbers that they can go after.
So I think... our take permit is somewhere around 1,000. Last year, they took less than 200 overall. Basically, they just need to do good science, in other words, so that they can provide justifications like we needed within our district. Our district commander had some interaction with Audubon Society, et cetera, you know, the article that was talked about at the last meeting, and wanted to understand a little bit of the science of what we were using. And so at that point, we went out and I requested the information from APHIS that did the work last year. Basically, they came back with, I'm wanting off the top of my head to say that we hazed greater than 200,000 birds and our lethal take was 177. So it was pretty minimal in terms of the overall impact that we were able to have.
So I guess to ask again a little differently, then there's no change in the protocol that's required for you guys to get to the lethal hazing level.
There is no change.
No, we still have we are still able to perform like we did last year in Walla Walla.
Okay. Do you anticipate any change in that for next year?
Not at this time. You know, so I did. Like I said, after the last meeting, I had to gather that data, did do a brief for our commander, provided that as well to our PAO. The comments I got at the time is, obviously, we're not all well-aligned within the district, suggesting that we have some other individuals in the district that felt strongly, you know, in a differential mode about that. But we did get a memo signed that allowed us to get hazing going, so we were just over the winter, generally use their APHIS, the Wildlife Services contract, for small mammals and pigeons. None of that was able to take place because we had a ban on having any guns on any of the projects.
Right.
We did get that successfully taken care of, so they are able to have those. But, you know, just kind of giving you a brief update at this point in time.
Yeah.
And we're getting close to when you would think they would start utilizing it here in the next couple weeks, because it's usually right around as we get to the peak numbers of juveniles.
I think Mary had their first take Monday.
Okay, thanks, Bobby.
Yeah. One of the hazers showed me a photo.
Okay, perfect. So that's
what was that again?
I wanted to say it.
Wait a minute, let Bobby... Gary didn't hear you, Bobby.
Oh, yeah, McNary had their first take, I believe, Monday.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's good. I'm just wondering if there's something we need to do in the future or for the future, if this is changing within the Walla Walla District. Is there any reason for the EAVN group to get together and discuss this? Doesn't sound like it yet, but if things should change... within the district, I'd appreciate, you know, a heads up on that and maybe a chance for the group to get together.
Right. Yeah. I think the only, you know, the feedback I got after putting that information together was that, you know, our commander planned to continue talking with all the people who had differences of opinion, but at this point in time, I think they were good, you know, satisfied that we weren't out of line with what we had ongoing, and so, and this individual is here with us for another year, so.
Okay. Okay, Ann, thank you.
So what about Portland District? Lethal?
Yeah.
Is that...
Mark Joyce.
Is that completely off the table, or is it...
As far as I understand, yeah, it's off the table for right now, given who our branch chief is in the planning, environmental planning section.
So if Walla Walla is able to document a benefit from this action, will that change anything for the board?
It should help build the case file, yeah.
As well, you just
got we may want
approval for cormorants, too, right?
Yes.
So
it's going forward. There was no stay of the action. So the Corps is moving forward with the action thus far. Yeah, and the Portland District issue for lethal hazing could be brought up later, you know, I think, for next year again, but not today.
Yeah, because then you'll have the action from this year that you can rely on to know likely outcomes as well.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say I was on Ice Harbor on May 6th to look at biological sampling, and I looked up the bird hazing. They had a boat, a shore person, and I didn't see any gulls in the tail rays, and even the cormorants didn't like it. They every time a flashbang went off, three cormorants left the tail rays, and they didn't come back for a while. But I've never seen it quite like that before. It was just a pretty impressive job.
Good to hear.
All right. Think BPA updates?
I actually do have one this time. It turns out the fish passage plan, we may have overlooked something. Turns out that there's two types of power lines at Bonneville. One's 115 and one's 230 kilovolt.
Hey, Scott, can you get closer to the phone?
Sure.
We'll just record it.
Yeah. So it turns out by having two different power lines, you actually need to have power on the power lines at times when they're doing maintenance or breakers are open or things change in the system. So over the next, it looks like we need to modify the fish passage plan to allow them to have a unit on to operate the 115 system that keeps cascade locks with lights and parts of the dells and some of the fruit storage places. There's many places that rely on having power that comes through the 115 line. So there's a bunch of requests this summer to do work on lines where someone shot them out or tried to shoot them out. replacing some of the original lines from the Bonneville, the 1940s, when Bonneville Dam was built. There's some in the gorge that need to be replaced. So what I'm trying to figure out is like which unit to run, if we're going to run a unit. And 1, 2, 9, or 10 are on the 115 line. So is there a preference as to which one would be on when we need to run it? Ben?
So you're asking us?
Sure, Ben or Gary, or I mean, earlier on we heard that it doesn't attract many.
Yeah, I only picked up the last part of what you said, so I'm not sure what your context is here.
Having a unit run constantly for weeks at a time at Bonneville in the first firehouse.
At all times?
Not all times, but June, much of the time in June, July, and August.
June, July, and August, okay.
Yeah.
And it has to be first powerhouse.
Right, because the only powerhouse that's hooked to the 115 line is units 1,
it's 2, the 115 line, right.
Correct.
Hey, Scott, does it have to be only units 1, 2, 9, or 10, do you know?
Well, you can switch 3 onto the line, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There's one that's capable of being on either one.
Okay.
All of them for the 115, you have to go through the first powerhouse.
So would you want unit 10, since that would be at the north end and we won't be doing work at the north end in the summer?
Late summer. Sammy, you're talking about the work that would happen with the sluice way, right, and the entrance?
Right.
Yeah, I would say if it's in those 2 weeks of the sluiceway outage, you'd want 10, but otherwise I would probably vote for 1.
But you can switch it around. I mean, that's my issue. My concern is that we have that one unit putting fish into the tail race. Yeah, probably unit 1, Ben, would be the best because you have the sluiceway there to help for egress conditions, but running one unit over there is definitely puts juveniles out there in a bad place. So I think this is something, Scott, if you put together an MOC and I guess this wouldn't be an MOC, it'd be a change point.
It's an emerging issue that it popped on my desk the other day that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we would have never seen it because we had flows high enough that we've been running a unit. But this year it really brings home how little water we have and how little we're running the first powerhouse has been on in a week.
Yeah. Okay, well, my concern is this will kill fish. So we need to at least acknowledge what the impact may be.
Sure. We've got to write it up. I mean, fortunately, it's a higher survival through the first powerhouse than the spillway, so that's probably where fish are coming.
I'd be careful with that and when you're only running one unit.
We could run more than one unit. That's a choice. I mean, we do split.
I think that just makes it worse. I mean, with only one unit, you may not pull that many fish over there, but I do not like the idea of a low flow tail race. And the whole idea in the past has been trying to focus all of our flow wherever we had it for the powerhouses.
I agree, but if we sort of have a choice, do we want to, when we have to run something on the 115, do you want to switch to a unit 1 or a powerhouse 1 priority? Or do you want to keep it at powerhouse 2 and only run the one unit?
Well, I think our survival is better at powerhouse 2. So that would be a no. So what I'm saying is that we're running the project the way we should be, and what you're saying is we need to change that. And I think changing that will reduce survival, so we need to acknowledge what that might be.
Sure. Unfortunately, the other project purpose is to keep the lights on.
No, I understand that, and that you have to do what you got to do, but we have to do what we have to do, and
I agree.
You have a buy-off, and it has a limited amount of take, and you're suggesting that it may be a little higher than what we anticipated, and that means we've got to consider that.
Yep.
And it may not be that much with just one unit on over there, depending on, you know, our spill volume, so that's 95 or wherever we're at, so that may be the only unit that's running, actually.
you may be shifting the entire priority.
Well, no. I mean, you, the minimum is 30 to 40K at Bonneville.
That's so true. It is 30.
So you either have two units on the second or two units on low and one on the first.
Oh, joy.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting summer.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm just saying we need to document it. We need to have the justification. We need to have the biological assessment of what we might be causing here, at least recognize that there could be some additional things.
Yeah, I'm going to get it written up and work with the Corps to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
But it sounds like your preference is unit 1 if it's available, and then 10 if it's not going.
I think that's probably the preference from an adult standpoint anyway. I don't know. It's almost 6 1/2 dozen of the other, but the sluice way is on that side. You know.
So the B1 sluice way will be operating?
Sure.
Okay. It'll be operating at least until those last couple of weeks, but there's not that many fish over there anyway. So the issue here is that you'll be pulling more fish over with the unit flow. Normally there would be no unit flow, other than
the sluiceway.
What is it? 2K, 1.5, or 1.7 through the sluiceway.
There's an intake right above this unit 10 or unit 9 for the sluiceway.
Yes. Above 10, yes, there is.
Okay.
And 1 as well.
Sluiceway is pretty.
1's actually better.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll write something up and get it up.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Okay, that's it for your updates. We're on to coordination notification forms. Dell's crane rail removal. Not supposed to be on here anymore, Tammy?
No, that's a heads up. So I need to... No, it needs to be on there. I need to schedule a special FPOM to discuss just the Dells, and the preferred date is either June 2nd or 3rd, and this would be at Portland District with the PDTs for both the Dells crane rail removal and the backup AWS construction. We will get these MOCs out fairly shortly. John and Bob have been working on them. But there's a lot of coordination that needs to occur, and so it was deemed best to have everyone in one room to go through that schedule.
So I'll say those dates again, Tammy?
Either June 2nd or June 3rd.
Okay. That'll be fine.
Okay. Do you have a preference for one or the other?
No.
When's that SRWG?
The 4th.
That's up at the Dalles on the 4th.
Okay. Tammy, is it morning or afternoon?
Well, I think it's in the morning, and then there's another meeting in the afternoon for some folks.
It's Tuesday, it's the 2nd.
Or Wednesday, but Wednesdays are usually busy in the morning for me.
It would be after TMT to make sure that we'd have as many people there as possible. So I'll target Wednesday.
Will it be at the Dalles?
Wednesday afternoon?
I will target the morning on Tuesday so that Cordy can come in for it. How about that?
Or we can do it at the Dalles. If you guys want to be on site, see what we're talking about.
Gary, would you prefer to have the meeting at the Dalles or in Portland?
There's two meetings in the Dalles on the 4th. So that day is taken up. We've got SRWG, and then there's McNary mitigation for some of us.
I don't think we'll get the entire PDT out there, do you? All right, we'll have it in Portland on the 2nd, the morning of the 2nd. So
morning of the 2nd.
Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay. Okay, keep moving.
Decision, yes.
So McNary 04 debris spill. Mr. Moody?
McNary debris spill.
Bobby.
Bobby, that was the one spill that you... Actually, I think Gary asked to get a little bit better coordination on this one, if you remember right, Gary.
Well, isn't this like past history at this point?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I think that one's done. We've covered everything.
Yeah, we covered everything on that one.
Okay. Next one would be the North Powerhouse entrance weir malfunctions.
Yeah, that's the next one right there. We have Bobby in the room here to talk a little bit about that one that went on. We wanted a little bit more explanation about it because there wasn't any annunciator or alarms that went off. Gary, you wanted to...
Well, the only thing, yeah, my concern there was that it seemed like the powerhouse should have known, somebody in the control room should have known what was going on out there. That there's really unacceptable that would go on for that many hours without somebody knowing what was going on out there, either via an inspection or via the control room readouts. I would think that with that kind of a head differential, there would have been an alarm someplace.
Well, unfortunately, somehow the alarms got inadvertently turned off during some maintenance,
okay,
either in the winter or during some calibrations. So that's
hey, Bobby,
why the alarms,
you know,
didn't go off.
Yeah, and I'm not pointing fingers at what happened. Whatever happened, happened. I'm more thinking towards the future. You know, what can we do to keep this from something like that from happening in the future? So if you guys have any suggestions on turning the alarms on, that would be the first suggestion, and making sure that they're working. But that's really what I was looking for, was how can we make sure that something of that magnitude doesn't sneak up on us again.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a chance to talk with Bill about it any further. Bill actually did a lot of the background for what happened after the fact. I'm assuming that he's talked with the control room operators and added checks to their daily routine to make sure that everything's on and ready to function properly. But I can check with him and see if he had conversations with the control room operators about that.
Yeah, if you could check with that, that'd be good. I mean, there's if we have to, I suppose we could put something in the fish passage plan about an evening inspection of the, you know, of those things, just to make sure that people get out there and do it.
Yeah, well, the control system's right there in the control room, so I think just have each operator check at least at the beginning of his shift or something should be helpful.
Yeah, and if he has a checkoff list or something that he could check off that he did that so that you know that he did it, maybe that's all we need.
Yeah, because if the alarms are on, they would have went off. And the other issue was the weir that wasn't in service accidentally coming on and raising the other weirs. We went back and checked to make sure and changed the programming on the on that. And they also double-checked. I did ask Bill about that. Weir number one over on the Washington side also is not in service, but Bill made sure they checked that it would not do the same thing, and it won't. So we won't have a trouble problem on the Washington side, at least.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys are on it. I guess that's the main thing, and we can document it through the notes here.
Yeah, and I'll have a conversation with Bill to make sure that he's talked with the operators about how they're going to double-check about the alarm.
Okay. Yeah, let me know what you find out with that.
All right.
Thank you, Bobby.
Would you send me a summary of what went on between you and Bill after you talked to him?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one is Little Goose, the Fishway Controls Modification Update.
Yes, this is a continuation of actually a coordination from last month. Towns, do you want to talk a little bit about this one? Are you still on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, could you tell us basically what needs to be done and why it wasn't done last month and why you want to schedule it this time of the year?
So at this stage, we are still trying to complete an upgrade to the fishway control system. It was a very old system that we couldn't update anymore. So this was a repair to that, an update on that. And things were going pretty well in the winter work period. The contractor didn't quite complete the work they needed done. So with the last two parts that needed to be completed that was included in the previous coordination was to update some
the software, and then to replace some issues they were having with hardware on the North Shore, with the North Shore weirs. So we arranged that coordination, and unfortunately the contractor did not arrive on site for the day of coordination. Ultimately, what he did was he came the following day. He wasn't permitted to do the hardware updates on the North Shore, because we had not coordinated to eliminate spill in Spill Bay 8 on that day. But he did complete the software updates. So this update, this updated coordination is just to allow him the opportunity to access the North Shore weirs and complete the hardware updates. And in reality, I was out on the North Shore earlier this week, and it's not that it's terribly unsafe. We just get a bit of mist coming from the spill bays, and since he'll be working with open electronics, we wanted to reduce any risk there.
So your outage will include Spill Bay 8?
Yeah.
And your outage would be done in the afternoon of the, what is that, the 20th?
Yes, Wednesday the 20th, and we anticipate it will take less than an hour to complete these hardware updates.
Yes. So that's what the analysis that are asking for at this time next week.
Well, I'm assuming you'll shift that. It'll be two stops at Bay 8 will be shifted over equally to the next two. I would move it over to Bay 3 and 4.
Oh, well, we can do that.
Okay.
We can do that.
Move. If it's just one stop, just move it to Bay 3. If it's two, move one stop to Bay 3 and one stop to Bay 4.
So is there anybody else that has comments on that hasn't provided anything in writing? Are you basically saying if he does that bill, then you're okay, you're approving it?
Yeah.
Charlie, you got any comments? You good with that?
I'm good with that.
Okay. Eric? Van Dyke? Still on? Oh, come on, Eric. As soon as I say you don't have any comments, you're going to say something.
Good thing he's not on.
He must be on. BPA, you got any comments?
No.
We got any other reps that I've missed? Okay, so it sounds like we have approval. So the next one is the monthly update that Bill has requested. As we notice, we've got David here. We have Scott Fielding on the phone. And we've also got Elizabeth here. So I'm not sure who of you wanted to lead.
I'll do it.
Okay. So David will maybe lead.